Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, more supports are to be put in place in schools to meet the needs of children growing up in areas with the highest levels of disadvantage. Minister for Education Helen McEntee said she's considering enhanced funding, staffing and wellbeing supports as part of a new GESH action plan, which will be published in 2025, which will focus on improving the opportunities and achievement levels of children at risk of educational disadvantage. And I'm delighted to say Minister Helen McEntee joins me now in the studio. You're very welcome.
Good evening,
to the programme. When you say more supports for GESH schools, what do you mean?
Well, firstly, it means making sure that we provide, insofar as possible, resources and supports to young people who are at risk of educational disadvantage. And it's building on a lot of the supports that are already there. So my objective in the time that I have in the Department of Education is I want to see every young person supported to achieve their full potential. And we know for a fact that if you are from an area where there is a high concentration of disadvantage, that can be much more challenging for you. So there's a programme there that's been in place for a number of years. It's providing additional targeted measures for young people in areas of disadvantage. What I want to do is heighten that even more. And it's very clear, and you had someone on the programme earlier saying that certain schools, certain areas where there's high levels of deprivation, the children need more than what we're providing now. And that is what I want to do.
Provide a GESH principal, Conor McCarthy, which you point out there. That's the wider aim, let's say. That's the aspiration. When it comes to nuts and bolts, though, in terms of funding and extra therapists and extra teachers and so on, what are you looking at?
Well, firstly, this will be done in consultation with the people who know best here, and that is our teachers, it's our school leaders, it's our students. And so I want to engage with them over the coming months. I mean, my intention is to publish a new plan this year, the earlier the better, but obviously this has to be done in consultation. And there's a lot of work already done, in particular by those principals that you've mentioned in highlighting. It's about not just reducing class sizes, having, you know, increased funding, but how do we make sure where there is perhaps intergenerational trauma? How do we make sure where children need access to therapies, to mental health supports, that we're providing that? Because it's only when you maybe tackle some of those issues then young people are able to look at the curriculum itself and how do we make sure that they stay in school and that they can achieve the best outcome possible. I mean, what I want to do essentially is close the gap between DESH schools and non-DESH schools when it comes to attainment at the end of the day.
And in terms of the aspiration, you're completely at idem with what Conor McCarthy told us earlier on in terms of closing that gap. But would you be happy with, or would it be an aspiration for you or an objective to provide the funding to each and every DESH school to allow them recruit teachers and increase space to allow that trauma informed engagement with students where it's needed? Could that happen in each and every school?
Well, firstly, I think we need to focus on where the need is most. And that's one part of the plan that I want to publish. That's the DESH Plus. Where do we know that there is an even greater need? But also, how do you
decide that?
Well, look, we have to set that out. And even the DESH programme itself at the moment, there are parameters and you have to identify what a DESH school is. And that's based on the need of the child. So it's not the particular location or the school's name. It's what is the level of need among the student population. So you have to look at that overall and take into account different indexes as we do on a national level and international level as well. So that needs to be worked through. But I want us to be innovative.
Just to be clear, these multidisciplinary teams that Conor spoke to us, where you might have therapists, occupational therapists, linguistic therapists or whatever the case may be on site, that won't be available to each and every school, GESH school. That'll be on the most prioritised need. Is that it?
Well, the focus here is to introduce a DESH Plus. So that does mean there is a greater need. And yes, that would mean and need a greater level of resources. But what I also want to do as part of the plan is make sure that our DESH programme overall is as targeted and supportive as it can be. So over the last number of years, we've increased the number of young people can access us. We've increased the funding that's gone into it. How do we do even more? And how do I ensure that if you are a child where there is disadvantage, either where you're from or in your life, and you're not in a DESH school, how do we make sure that you can get those supports and those interventions as well?
How long will this consultation take place?
Well, I want this plan to be published this year. So that consultation starts immediately. As I said, there's work done. We know a lot of the facts. We know there's certain schools have been campaigning for this for some time. So I want to make sure that the measures are ready to go this year. But of course, and you've mentioned something really important, we need money for it. And I'm not going to preempt any conversation
or
engagement.
You have a budget in mind.
Look, that has to be worked through when we have a plan in place, but I won't preempt
what I'm
having a conversation with the Minister.
We have no exact timeline for the consultation.
Well, what I'm saying very clearly at the very outset of my tenure is that this is going to be a priority, that this plan is going to be published this year, that I intend to make sure in my conversations with Minister Chambers that there is a budget to back this up and that we start this year. So this will take time. And if you look at the DESH programme, if you look at any progress that's made, you have to build up capacity, you have to put the right structures and resources in place, and you have to make sure that it works.
I mean, why should families facing disadvantage have faith in you and the words that you're saying right now to better their cause when so many of the factors, Minister, driving their disadvantage have intensified during the time which you've been in power?
Well, what I would say is that the number of young people that have benefited from the DESH programme has increased significantly, and we're seeing results from that. So while there's still a gap, and it is absolutely no question, there is still a gap between the level of attainment, be it into further a higher education or work for young people coming from DESH schools or otherwise, the gap is closing. If you look at international standards, there's been a huge focus on literacy and numeracy. That has improved because of the investment through our DESH schools. But to my point earlier, before you start focusing on literacy, numeracy or curriculum and supporting young people, there are other young people that need to actually deal with so much trauma and other difficult issues.
Disadvantage as well that has increased on your watch, let's say. Homelessness has increased, has intensified. We now have over 4,600 children who are homeless. How can you focus on education when you have that level of instability in your life? Mental health services. The Children's Rights Alliance recently have pointed to broken promises on mental health from the government which you were a part of. And parents, we'll come to this in just a second, parents of children with special educational needs, they felt the need to protest outside your department last week.
Well, look, I only met with the Children's Rights Alliance in the last 2 weeks and we're very much on the same page here. My objective over the next number of years is to make sure that the budget increases, that we support more younger people who are in disadvantaged areas and who are at an educational disadvantage, that we're more targeted in what we do, acknowledging everything that you've said, that there's a particular cohort of young people that need that extra support, while at the same time making sure that the current DESH programme that does work, that has increased in investment, that we do even more. But also we need to look at new and innovative ways to support people. So I'm really excited about the fact that youth is coming back.
Because the parents of special educational needs, of children with special educational needs, they felt compelled to protest last week because they say, despite repeated pleas to your department, their pleas went unanswered.
Well, I think we'd all accept that we're not where we need to be when it comes to special education, not anywhere near it. And I am absolutely committed, working with Minister Moynihan, both of us, in making sure that this is also a priority.
Is that true, though?
100%. And I know for a fact at the moment that we have, and this is where we have to get better, that we identify the need earlier on.
Were there queries unanswered by the department?
Well, look, if you look at last year and you look at the number of places that were needed, there were more places provided and identified than there were young people looking for those places. But what we need to get better at, and that'll be the same this year. So I know for a fact at the moment there's 3,275 young people who need a special educational place in September. Mm-hmm. We are planning for about 3,900 places. That's fine saying we'll have a place for everybody, but if it's not in the location that a parent needs, if it's not in the school that a parent needs for their child and that the child needs themselves, then we're not where we need to be. So yes, we will have a plan in place to make sure there are enough places. And I've said very clearly,
maybe
in Minister
Moynihan, not in the right locations. Is that what you're saying?
It is, and it's about building up capacity. It's about making sure that where a person is, like I'm thinking of my own two boys who I hope will go to the same school. So you can imagine you have a parent with two children and one of them, because that school cannot cater for special educational needs, they may have to look at a different school in
That's
a different county even.
Isn't it really?
And this is what we're trying to achieve.
Would you agree with that?
It is absolutely not acceptable for a young person to not be able to go to the same school as their sibling because we can't provide those places.
Jody Reid, the parent that I mentioned there, one of the parents protesting, I think, said she had applied to 16 schools for a place for her five-year-old son, Caelan, for next September. And so far, she's received 13 refusals. I mean, that is heartbreaking, isn't it?
And I know many of those parents, and I am very close with with the number of people who've had to go through that. And so it's not just about building new classrooms, additional spaces, building new special schools, increasing the SNAs and special educational teachers, which we are doing. It's about taking that stress away from parents. So at the moment, a parent is applying to multiple schools and getting, as you've said, often every single one of them coming back negative. So firstly, we need the capacity so we have spaces for young people. I'm going to introduce, and again, this is with Minister Moynihan, we're working closely together, a single application system so that parents don't have to go through all of that.
Which doesn't guarantee a local school, though.
No, but we need to make sure that we continue to build up the capacity while we do that. We also need to get better at identifying the need at an earlier stage possible. So the NCSE, which is the National Council for Special Education, has the job of, it's our agency, of identifying the need. And we've built up their capacity, Minister Hildegard Nocton and Norma Foley before me built up their capacity to be able to identify that. I only found out the need last week. So we have instructed the NCSE to make sure that for next year's cohort of young people that we're identifying their need this year, that we're able to say in the early stages of next year, at the same time as every other child is getting their placements and their acknowledgements or their refusals, that that's happening at the same time for parents. So there's a lot of work has been done, but I absolutely accept there's more that we need to do and we are absolutely committed to that.
We're getting texts on the phone pouches, Minister, since I mentioned it at the start of the programme. €9 million, I think, to put aside to put smartphone pouches in every single school, despite research that shows that banning phones in schools is not linked to pupils getting higher grades or having better mental health. You're still going to spend €9 million on them.
Well, firstly, I think we need to be open to any measure that will improve a young person's day-to-day engagement in school. And I'll be very honest, I've spoken to parents whose children have already got pouches in school and they're saying that at lunchtime in particular, there's better engagement. Younger people are engaged more in sports and other curricular activities and just talking to each other. And I'm not saying that children sit on phones all day at lunchtime, but if we can do anything to make sure that there is that engagement in school, I think we should try. Now, this is optional.
Research, though?
But there's also other research to show that this has actually worked and this is positive in other areas as well. And I think it's not a panacea, it's not the silver bullet, but anything that we can do to provide schools with resources. So this is optional. Mm-hmm. Schools can opt into this. Some schools are already doing it. This doesn't replace engaging with young people as to how to use your phone, how to, you know, like we all should not spend the level of time that we do on it every day.
There's a particular issue for smartphones with kids and social media companies and how they treat children, isn't there? Why not legislate this for the social media companies to stop them allowing violence and pornography and self-harm content onto the timelines of our teens? Why not do that?
Well, we are doing that. We're one of the few countries in Europe that have established an online safety commissioner. We're following suit to work that was done in Australia. And the online safety commissioner's role is to identify where there's harmful content online with social media companies. And if that content is not removed, then there are significant fines that can be imposed.
Why allow it there in the first place is the question.
Look, I mean, social media and in terms of our online space, it's a very challenging space to work in where you have the ability to work offline, to work outside of our jurisdictions. And I saw that in my previous role as well, where you have very harmful content.
So it's not possible to do that, is it?
No, it is absolutely possible, but it's not, you're saying to ban it and never allow it online full stop.
Yes, for teens, correct.
That is absolutely a challenge because
not possible.
It's a challenge to prevent anything from going up, but making sure that it's taken down, making sure that it's taken down in a timely manner, but also that there are relevant controls in place for young people. And again, when it comes to our schools, it's not just phone pouches, but the SPHE curriculum and engaging with young people about what is healthy content, what is a healthy way to engage with each other. You mentioned pornography. It's a massive problem when it comes to young people and trying to engage with them as to what is consensual, what's appropriate in terms of sexual relationships or otherwise. Those conversations need to be happening and we need to be engaging with our young people on them.
Okay, finally, you're no longer the Minister for Justice, of course, but violent crime increased with attempted murder and assaults and related offences of 3%, according to the latest stats we've got on crime issued today. Is it concerning despite all of the effort to focus on those areas?
Do you know, I think these statistics are really important because they actually show Gardaí where there is a potential need to focus more and to increase investment and to prioritise resources. You'll see from the statistics today there are certain crimes in areas that have decreased and certain areas that have increased. And so, you know, for example, I was looking at the fact that retail crime and the number of reported incidents has increased. You know, for a long time people weren't reporting these crimes, so you can say it's welcome that they're now reporting them. But it's also allowed Gardaí in the last year, and you mentioned when I was in the department, we established a new Operation Target, which was specifically focusing on retail crime, identifying organised retail crime. And since that has been introduced, the number of people who have been brought before the courts for retail crime has reduced.
These statistics. The retailers are saying that the sentences are way too low. They see the same people offending time and again, and that there are not enough Gardaí on call as well. So I suppose you can't do everything in one day, but there is frustration out there. You'll appreciate
you have to make changes at every step of the system. So it's not just about more Gardaí, which is absolutely key. It's not just about putting the measures in place to identify prolific offenders and bringing them before the courts. It's making sure the sentences match the crime, as well as increasing the prison spaces that we have for those who should be in prison as well. So all of that work is happening. You need to build up capacity in the system as you do that. But, you know, I think, as I said, these crime statistics show Gardaí where perhaps there needs to be a greater focus, greater targeted measures. And, you know, we've seen in the past where that has happened, the types of crimes have reduced overall.
Okay. Well, your focus mainly now, I know, is on education. And we'll talk again quite soon about JESH and the phone pouches, I'm sure, and other areas in education. But Minister for Education, Helen McEntee of Fine Gael, thank you very much indeed.